And now we're going to go a little bit further into the conversion process as we strive to be more Christ-like by going on to perfection. Going on to perfection. That is also the title of this, going on to perfection. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus was perfect during his lifetime as one of us, a human being. In the old sacrificial practices of God's people, the lamb was to be perfect with no blemishes or defects. Christ was without sin, and he did a perfect work, and his death was able to save all mankind. Christ's sacrificial offering was for our justification, which was completed on the cross. Because of this perfect offering, God's calling and our acceptance of Christ's sacrifice for us and our repentance, we are in an ongoing, continuous process of our sanctification. Part of that process of the sanctification is going on to perfection. What is perfection? What is perfection? Well, Paul admonishes us to go on to perfection. But what exactly does that mean, and how are we able to do this? Or is it even possible? You know, well, I'm not perfect. There's only one perfect man that ever lived. How many times do we say that to ourselves? We need to understand this, and we need to understand from what I've already mentioned before, is John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your word. Your word. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. So that's what we need to look at. We need to look at God's word. So number one, what is perfection? What is perfection? The biblical Hebrew word tamim, means entire, literally, figuratively, or morally. Also as a noun, it means integrity, means truth. Without blemish, it means complete, full, perfect, sincerely. And the other Hebrew word that's a lot of times translated to perfection or perfect is shalom, which means complete, literally and figuratively, means full, just, made ready, peaceable, perfect or perfected, quiet, whole. These are all were used in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word telios, means complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental and moral character, etc. Definitions of perfect and perfection include without spot or blemish, complete, full, sound, undefiled, whole, mature, and ripe. All these describe Christ's character, who embodies all of these traits. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective work in by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. Well, that was a mouthful. There's a lot there. In Paul's closing comments in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, he talks about an individual there, Epaphras. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The context of these passages show perfection to entail completeness, ripeness, like fruit, like first fruits, the fullness of the stature of Christ. The second thing is, or question that we can ask is, can we be perfect apart from God? Can we be perfect apart from God? Well, I know that's a silly question. We know the answer is no. Psalm 138 and verse 8 says, the Eternal will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Eternal, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. God is the one who works perfection in us. Perfection does not come easily. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We don't like that word, sufferings. But look what Paul says of Christ. This is what Paul says of Christ in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, speaking of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of the eternal salvation to all who obey him. We might have to suffer some trials, but God is always with us, and he knows our needs. He knows that we need healing. He's concerned for us. We've had to make a lot of changes in order to follow God's way of life. A lot of changes from what the world is doing. And it's not easy at times. It really isn't easy. But God does bless us in ways that are seen and a lot of times unseen. God will help us, those he has called and set apart from the world. Peter chapter 5, Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I want to read that according to the God's Word translation. God's Word translation says, God who shows you his kindness and who has called you through Christ Jesus to his eternal glory will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you as you suffer for a little while. God helps us through his Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, told his disciples this in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. Verse 13 of John 16, verse 13. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak of its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak. And it will tell you things to come. God's Holy Spirit has been given to us. God's power. The Holy Spirit will help us. The third thing I want to say here is, or maybe the third question is, what does Jesus tell us about perfection? What does Jesus himself tell us about perfection? In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 39, and he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Let me say that again. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Now the Greek word katartizo, it means complete, thoroughly. That is to repair. It's another one of those words here for perfect. Repair means literally or figuratively, or to adjust, to fit, to frame, to mend or make perfect, or to have it perfectly joined together. Prepare and restore. This is another word that's translated to perfect, and it basically means making something perfect. Verse 41, he continues on, verse 41, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is out of your own eye? I mean, this is probably like a little microscopic speck in his eye, and you'd have to get pretty close to see the speck in the guy's eye. Meanwhile, he's got this huge beam coming out of his eye. It says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will clearly see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying, does them, and then it does them, I will show them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who has dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, heard God's words and did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently against, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the cornerstone of which our faith is built upon. He wants us to be perfect and complete. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect sounds impossible for us to achieve. Be perfect? Are you kidding me? Sounds impossible. Again, this word that's translated here as perfect, it also means to become complete or to mature. Jesus is asking us to be complete, that we grow up and be mature, that we grow up and be mature, that we imitate our Heavenly Father, that we are to be moving closer to God, growing in faith and doing our best to become more and more like Him. Jesus said this to His disciples right after He gave the Beatitudes, and He also expanded the keeping of God's law to even include what's in your thoughts, not just your actions, but your thoughts. He expanded the law. And He told them to be complete, to be perfect. What He's asking for here is maturity. So that's the fourth point I want to discuss, is going on to perfection. Going on to perfection means becoming more mature in our understanding of God and in our actions. Going on to perfection means becoming more mature in our understanding of God and our actions. Paul addresses a Christian's maturity many times. Many times. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul is telling them that they should have become more mature by now. But they weren't. They still needed milk. He continues this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the same conversation. In Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. There it is. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Paul is saying that we should stop going over the elementary truths about Christ and move on to topics for more mature people. We shouldn't repeat the basics about turning away from the useless things that we did in the past, and the basics about faith in God. We shouldn't repeat the basic teachings about such things as baptisms. We know that. About setting people apart for a holy task, to the resurrection of life and eternal judgment. Listed here, these are major doctrines of the Church of God. These are major doctrines of the Church of God. We should know them. We should be able to talk to other people and explain these things. We don't have to have them explained to us again. We should already know these. That's what he's telling them. In Paul's analogy, he compares babies to adults. Little children are unskilled at many tasks, often becoming discouraged and quitting when things get tough. A sure sign of approaching maturity is endurance. Paul is urging diligence in becoming perfect and complete, following those who endured great trials. We cannot expect to escape what Christ himself endured, learning perfection by the things that he suffered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to read that last verse from the good from God's Words translation. It says, endure until your testing is over, when you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. Mature and complete. The fifth thing I want to say here is another question. Is there hope for us to be complete? Is there any hope that we can become complete? The reason I say that is because even though Paul urges us to go on to perfection, he was admittedly not completely there himself. He struggled to leave the past in the past and pursue the future. He showed that part of the process is maintaining a perfect attitude, a mind ready, willing, and seeking after the prize of the high calling of Christ. How did Paul consider himself? Well, in Philippians, we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, he says, "And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or that I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." He doesn't sound like he's someone that made it. He's still pushing himself. He's still striving. He's still fighting with his mind. He's fighting with his body. He's striving to overcome sin. He's praying. He's studying. He's fasting. He's humbling himself before other people. Whatever it takes, so that he can achieve the resurrection of the dead and to be found in Christ Jesus at that time. He did not think that he had made it by a long shot. He was still pressing on. Continuing on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Reaching. It means straining. It means straining in here. Jesus never told his disciples that he was calling them, what he was calling them for was going to be an easy task. No, it was to be difficult. We all struggle in overcoming human nature. The drives of pride, the drives of anger, the drives of frustration, the drives of bitterness, the drives of impatience, turning ourselves away from gratifying the self. When the temper begins to flare because we think that somebody has done us wrong. When we do exert every spiritual effort that is within us to fight against those things, to overcome the fears that constrain us, and to keep ourselves from doing the things that are wrong, when we fight against that, it is pleasing to God. And it will be considered by him to be holy and pure. This is the kind of effort that he made. And that is the kind of effort that God wants us to make in overcoming our human nature. Continuing on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, let us, as many as are mature..." That's teleos. That's the Hebrew word teleos again. It's translated perfect in places, or complete. "As many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." In the chapter before this one, in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you which was in..." was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind he's talking about. God is working with us. He loves us. He is merciful towards us, and he's very, very patient with us. Very, very patient. He reminds us and he corrects us when we do wrong. He will make every kind and generous and good effort on his part to urge us to go a certain way, the right way. Then, if we will not, well, then he's going to slam us into a brick wall to get our attention. I ran into that brick wall a few times. God will do everything in his power to save us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, continuing on here. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I want to read this from the New Life Version, the New Life Version Bible, beginning in verse 15. All of us who are full-grown Christians should think this way. If you do not think this way, God will show it to you. So let us keep on obeying the same truth we already have been following. Puts it in very simple terms. The sixth point that I want to bring out here is finishing the race to perfection. Finishing the race to perfection. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, when we pray, we talk to the Father, and Christ is right there at his right hand. Do we forget that at times, that when we're praying to God the Father, Christ is right there? We have a special relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ that never ends as long as we are willing to keep into that relationship. As long as we're willing to continue that relationship. We're in a race to the finish line. And no one but God can help you reach that finish line. Are you talking with God? Are you telling him your needs? Are you thanking him for all that he has done for us? For all he's done for you? God is with us 24/7. Not just in your prayer room. He's always with you. How do we Christians finish this race? How do we Christians finish this race? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. According to the rules. You don't win the prize if you don't play by the rules. So in this race to the kingdom of God, what are the rules? What are the rules that we play by? Well, they're God's laws. God's laws. Notice what Christ taught when he was asked about the intent of God's law. In Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. There were some Pharisees that were hanging out there, and he said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Bible teaches that God's law, if properly understood, is perfect. Psalm 19 and verse 7. "The law of the eternal is perfect." Says it right there, end of story. The law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the eternal are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the eternal is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the eternal are true and righteous altogether. The law of God is perfect. Therefore, we should be striving to keep it as we strive for perfection. The law of God is involved in our conversion. It's part of our conversion. The Apostle Paul says it very well in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Renewing of the mind can be challenging. Are you up to it? We are to imitate Christ by developing in ourselves his character, and God will help us. God will help us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're God's workmanship, and we were created to be engaged in good works. Walking in God's way helps build character. The scriptures mention that striving for perfection is important for Christians because such striving leads to the development of character, good character. Here are some of the passages from the Apostle Paul about character. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope." As we continue to study God's word and truly work on changing our characteristics to be more like Christ, and our new character will actually start to take shape. We'll take on these new godly habits that builds our character, and then it's our habit. If we do it, if we continue to strive and do it, we can achieve patience. We can be kind to one another. We can have all these fruits of the Spirit. Which brings me to my seventh point here, is what are the fruits of perfection? What are the fruits of perfection? Well, besides the fruits of the Spirit, there are other character traits that we can develop, and there are things that we should avoid. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. Numerous times over the holy days, we've been talking about not being conformed to this world. We were pulled out of this world, but we're still in it. We're not to be partaking in the things of this world. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who has brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory, or to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're to be doing God's will. That's how you become perfect. That's how we strive to go on to perfection, by doing God's will, by obeying his commandments. In James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. We need to watch what we say a lot of times. I talked about saying the wrong things, which could be breaking the third commandment. And when our speech, our actions and our speech is out there for everybody to view. The people at work, your neighbors, your family. Not just your actions, but your words. Your words speak loudly. If you're able to bridle the tongue, you can bridle the whole body. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. I know I've said 17 a few times, but this is important. This is what we have to look at. This is our guide. This is our direction. This is what we need to be focused on. This is where we are to find out what it is to be perfect, to be like Christ. It's all written right here in our Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Believe that. Believe that God inspired this and has kept his word true. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete. That's that word perfect again. May be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now all these verses that I just read here can help us to really quickly check how we're doing with these fruits. How are we doing in building this character? How are we doing in striving for perfection? How we're running this race to the finish line? How are we doing? Is the direction of our life, is it producing peace, soundness, patience? How's our patience, our faith? What about our good works? Is our tongue under control? Are we still fearful? Perfect love casts out fear. I want to close with this admonition from the Apostle Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, beginning in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, that his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.